Hello, this is Graham Freer. I'm in an office in Wingate Road, Gosport, which used to be the headquarters for North Sails, I believe, and now is taken over by AC Marine and Composites. With me is Alex Newton, who's the boss here. Alex, this is an enormous factory, but you've got enormous plans, haven't you?
Very much so. We actually started in a 1,500 square foot barn in Sway, Hampshire. We've managed to upscale to a 22,000 square foot workshop in 6 months. We've grown from 2 full-time employees to I think we're on 9 now in the space of 6 months. So it's been a bit of a rapid expansion.
And you hardly made a dent on this premises. So you've got big plans, haven't you?
Yeah. So we're still rattling around in the workshop. We've got a 2-story office block, and there's currently 3 of us in here. So our plans at the moment are to expand up to about 35 people in this workshop. And then if the project that we're working on goes according to plan, we'd need to upscale again in 3 to 4 years' time.
Wow, that's some dramatic plan, that. So what is this project? Can you talk about it?
I can give you a very brief overview of what we're doing.
Okay.
So we have the project to supply composite tidal turbine blades to a company called Atlantis Resources. Atlantis Resources are arguably one of the more advanced tidal energy manufacturers. We've got the lead contract to supply composite tidal turbine blades for their Maygen site, which is essentially their flagship site in Scotland.
Can you describe to me what turbine blades will do?
So it's very, very similar to wind energy, in that you have a central spire and a turbine mounted on the top of it, except with tidal energy, the turbine is a lot smaller. So the 60 or 80 metre rotors that you see with wind are condensed down to about 18 metres.
And it's underwater?
And it's 40 metres underwater in the Pentland Firth off Scotland.
Oh gosh, nothing down here in Hampshire yet?
Not yet. There's a couple of smaller tidal energy sites scattered around Hampshire. And I think there's one which is being progressed off of the south side of the Isle of Wight. But we're not contributing towards that yet.
I've heard about that, but the local fishermen are getting very upset because it's going to upset the crab population or something.
Yeah, I can understand. You know, these installations need to take into consideration quite a few environmental factors. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with that aspect of it. We're purely a composites manufacturer.
So somebody else sorts out the politics.
Yes.
You just manufacture the
composite components. So we actually have a background with boat building, kind of Grand Prix race boats. I started off about 17 years ago working for a very small boat builder. So we have, our company's based around anything to do with composites.
That's all right.
Sorry, shut the window?
No, it's a... No, it's all right.
Okay.
It's real life, isn't it?
Yes.
It's what's happening, and that's
what I love. It's nice to see that they come actually to collect our rubbish. So we have...
Maybe I can close the window.
Yeah, sure.
You never know, do you, whether it's going to be too hot, too cold.
Oh, this is England. You've got to remember this.
So we're not solely a turbine blade manufacturer. We are anything to do with composites. So we have a lot of history with boat building, such as TP-52s, Volvo Ocean Race. We've done some work with various America's Cup campaigns. I have a lot of background with Olympic racing. So I personally built Ian Percy and Andrew Simpson's star boats for the 2008 and 2012 campaigns.
Wow.
So the tidal energy sector that we've managed to break into, which is huge for us as a company, and is really, you know, the main direction that we're looking to pursue, because it's less cyclical and there's hopefully going to be a steadier stream of work. But in the same sentence, I don't want to forget our roots and the boat building side of what we do, because I'm a sailor as well.
Oh,
right. So I, you know, I enjoy the sailing, I enjoy the competitiveness, and I enjoy the technology that's behind it.
Is there a danger? We've had, you know, on the Isle of Wight, there were that company manufacturing turbine blades. And we all thought that was the future, didn't we?
Vestas.
Yeah, Vestas, yes.
Yep.
And then I think it was local opposition that caused them in no small way to close down. Is there a danger that, shall I use the term NIMBYism, you know, as it applies to the seafloor, may somehow affect your business in the future? I mean, things can be reversed, can't they, is what I'm trying to say.
Of course, and you know, with the EU referendum, and obviously our turbines are also going up to Scotland, so there's a lot of interconnectivity, even with the grant funding that funds it. There's so many different variables that we just can't possibly take account of.
But you've got to look optimistically forward, haven't you?
I always look optimistically. But the other optimistic aspect of what we do is that composites are so versatile. On one hand, we can be making very, very lightweight, detailed structure for Olympic hardware. And in the same workshop, the same facilities, the same trained staff, we can also be making extremely heavy-duty composite structures for tidal turbine blades. And the range of possibilities for us as a company are in the composites world are fairly vast. You know, we can go from boat building to renewables to automotive, aerospace. There's a huge amount of industry that we can tap into.
Using the same sort of machinery, I suppose?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's certain processes that are slightly different, but it's all relatively adaptable with what we've set up in the current workshop.
So this is very hopeful for the future. Does this mean then that, looking at the local economy, that you'll be employing more people beyond the 9 that you already have?
Yeah, so if we need to hopefully get up to about 20 by the end of next year, 35 by the year after that, thereabouts. We also have a scheme with the National Composite Centre because there's not a huge amount of skilled composites people anymore. They seem to have... It's very hard to find people with a good background in composite manufacturing.
You're going to have to train them from the ground up, really.
Exactly, and there's such a varying standard of skill when we're looking at bringing in composite technicians. And it's nothing to do with the individual. It's all to do with the training and the background that they've come from. And unfortunately, you know, for the last 5 years, we've kind of found that there's no baseline, there's no standard that they can kind of adhere to. So part of our funding that's helped fund this growth that we've experienced has been assigned to the National Composite Centre, who's our consortium partner with our grant. And we are developing a NVQ2 and NVQ3 training program. So we essentially can take on apprenticeships and even some people that have got a good level of composites experience and skill. And the aim is that we can standardize their experience and their skills level, which also helps us hugely because, you know, obviously as a growing company, it's very hard for me to keep a very close eye on every single aspect of what's happening in the workshop. But if we have that basic standard procedure to start with, then it means that our quality control kind of protocols are easier to adhere to, easier to quantify, and it means that, you know, we have a better product. And that in turn, I think, will help us grow a little bit quicker and faster.
Sounds like a good future to me.
It sounds like a very ambitious future, I'm perfectly aware, and it's been in my head for the last 5 years. It's been a very interesting struggle to get to this position. But I'm ever optimistic, and most of the chaps that we've got working for us at the moment have worked with me or for me over some kind of period over the last 5 years, even for smaller projects.
So you're developing a team that you know and love.
Exactly. I think if you were to analyse the workshop and the workforce at the moment, you'd probably say that it's slightly top heavy in that we have more skilled people than we potentially need. But the intention for that is that we can, as I said, standardise the procedures that everyone's sticking to, and then it gives room for us to fill out underneath those people, and then we can transfer their skill and knowledge onto hopefully the next generation of composites technicians.
Alex Newton, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank
good
you.
Luck for the future.
Thank you.